Oh, you are a mucky kid, dirty as a dustbin lid. When he hears the things that you did, you'll get a belt from your dad. Oh, you have your father's nose.
Now, Scouse is an accent and dialect of English found primarily in the metropolitan county of Merseyside, closely associated with the city of Liverpool and in the more urban parts of the neighbouring metropolitan borough of Sefton, Knowsley and Wirral. The accent is known to be as far-reaching as Flintshire in Wales and Runcorn and Skelmersdale in Cheshire and Lancashire respectively. The Scouse accent is highly distinctive and has little in common with those used in the neighbouring regions of Cheshire and Lancashire. And the accent itself is not specific to all of Merseyside, with the accents of residents of St Helens and Southport, for example, more commonly associated with the historic Lancastrian accent. Now, the accent was primarily confined to Liverpool until the 1950s, when the slum clearances in the city resulted in migration of the population to new pre-war and post-war development into surrounding areas of what was informally named Merseyside, later to become officially known as Merseyside in 1974. Now, I'm told the word Scouse is a shortened form of Lobscouse, derived from the Norwegian Lapscouse, the Swedish Lapscouse, and Danish Labscoffs. It's a word for a meat stew commonly eaten by the sailors in the 19th century. Poorer people in Liverpool and Birkenhead commonly ate Scouse, as it was a cheap dish. Outsiders tended to call these people Scousers. I have with me Paul Melba, internationally renowned as one of the best ever imitators of voice and accents and dialects. And of course, who else to ask about Scouse better than Paul, who lived in the city. So first of all, Paul, welcome to this podcast.
Oh, very nice to be here and on this lovely day.
It is. And Paul, whereabouts did you live in Liverpool?
Well, I was born in Everton, actually. I was born in Broadway, Everton, at Walton Hospital, and then moved out to Mandeville Street, which was, I think, Liverpool 1. Lived there for a few years, and then moved out to Highton, Longview Highton, where I stayed for quite a number of years before going into the services, you know?
Mm. Okay, well, so Liverpool was originally a small fishing village, developing as a port, trading particularly with Ireland, and after the 1700s as a major international trading and international centre. The city consequently became a melting pot of several languages and dialects as sailors and traders from different areas and migrants from other parts of Britain, Ireland and Northern Europe established themselves in the area. Were you aware that the Scandinavians had actually introduced the dish Scouse?
Yes, I did know that, yeah.
And, you know, as a child, did you eat it?
Oh, much, very much so, yeah. It was, as they say, it was a cheap meal, you know, it was thrown together with, I don't know what they called it, shin, you know, the beef, shin of beef, whatever, and there was cabbage in it and potatoes and carrots. It was quite a nice, stew, actually. And it was very filling, especially in the winter months.
Well, apparently the first reference to a distinctive Liverpool accent was in 1890. Linguist Gerald Knowles suggested that the accent's nasal quality may have derived from the poor 19th century public health, by which the prevalence of colds for many people over a long time resulted in a nasal accent becoming regarded as the norm and copied by others learning the language. I remember lots of colds when we were young.
Oh yeah, a lot of them, yeah.
And we had a lot of like fog and really heavy mists,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, London, you don't see much of them. The thick fogs in London At Liverpool, I can remember not being able to see through it. I mean, for a few paces, you couldn't see through the fog. Mm. And again, I can remember the cold. So it wasn't the medication around then in the 50s that we get now,
yeah.
To prevent flu and heavy colds.
Yeah,
they had the vitamin C's and things like that, but they didn't have the medications that we've got today.
But I suppose really, when you think about where we know ourselves as Scousers, I mean, even though I'm from the Wirral, people always refer to me as a Scouser.
Mm.
And realistically, reading from what we've just looked at around the area, I mean, really the Scouser comes from quite a wide ranging area, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You don't sound actually Scouse. Occasionally, there's a little rhythm in your voice that tells me that you are from Liverpool, but it's not. There's nothing broad about it, because you've travelled, you've been to Cornwall, for instance, mm. and other parts of Britain, and I think, like myself, I've moved around an awful lot, lived in London a lot, so a lot of it's brushed off at me. But still, because of my trade, I still can get back into the accent,
I suppose, really, if I go back to the time when I was trying to get on Radio Merseyside. Now, this was at a time local radios had just been coming in, 1967-ish. Mm. When I went to, first of all, get the interview with the BBC, I was told that my voice was too Scouse. I was told that at the interview.
Yeah, I got the same thing, yeah.
And so, I was told to go away and try not to be so Scouse. Now, obviously, later, Billy Butler was brought in because he was on TV,
mm-hmm.
And he was brought in as a celebrity Scouser. It was amazing, really, that... The idea had changed in such a quick space of time, because I suppose typical of the Londoners coming up and realizing that, hang on, we're different. The people of that area are very different.
The thing is, with the Londoner, it's more pronounced. With the Liverpool, there's more sort of words joined up together, which can really jar on you a little bit, and it's very hard to understand. Liverpool accent wasn't accepted back then in the 50s. I had to go and get elocution lessons to break it, because it wasn't accepted. Their idea was, in order to grasp other dialogue, you had to get rid of your own dialogue, which sounded, it made sense. Mm. So, going in like that, and getting an accent,
I can come back to the way that, I hear a lot of people talking as we were growing up and everything.
Yeah.
But you can also define the likes of John Lennon, who became sort of a very cultured Scouse. Can you just do that one for me?
Well, Paul McCartney had it, he had this sort of educated Liverpool accent. Well, the rhythm was there.
Yeah.
And that's what people used to look for with a Liverpool accent. Well, so it was almost like people would, they didn't even try, And when I knew him, he was speaking like that as well.
Was he already?
But
there's
and
like
it was that little pout of the mouth that he did, and the little idiosyncrasies.
I'm looking at your face as well, because you've definitely got a Paul McCartney face on you at the time. Now, let's go to this book which we're looking at, which is, it's called Learn Yourself Scouse. And, we've seen various volumes, but what I want to do with this first part of the podcast is start looking at some of the words as they're written here. Now, for example, we're starting with A, obviously, and I've got Abyssinia then, written as the country Abyssinia.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can remember I'll Be Seeing You. And actually, I'll Be Seeing You. And in actual fact, in Benidorm, there is a guy calling himself I'll Be Senior.
I'll Be Seeing You, yeah.
But I do remember I'll be Seeing You.
I can remember that.
But I can't remember it as Abyssinia.
Never.
I think some of these people that have written into this book have made it a bit too academic, and they've read things that really have never been there.
Yeah, no, that's right.
There is Act Soft and I'll Buy You a Tin Whistle. Now, I can relate to sort of Act Soft, Soft Lad.
Soft, yeah, soft. Because that's the word they use quite often.
Yeah, but I
but
I,
never that. I'll
they
buy
don't remember
wisdom.
That.
I can't remember that at all. No.
And don't forget, we're talking about, so for you, Paul, we're talking about nearly, well, certainly 70-odd years ago, aren't we?
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, we're going back a long way, and I know that Scouse tended to be, should we say, glamorized after, say, the 60s when the Liverpool sound
the
came
sound
in.
The sound came in, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So let's see what else we can find. Ackers. Now, I do remember Ackers.
Yeah, Ackers, yeah.
That was money, wasn't
that
it?
That was money, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ackers was definitely in.
And I remember this one, ain't even got a shilling for the meter.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is written as fair, F-E-R, and then T-H-E-R, fair their meter. And I certainly remember as a shilling for the meter. For the
shilling. Well, it was not even shilling. It was shilling. I haven't got a shilling for the meter. It was never shilling. It was shilling.
Yeah,
got
shilling.
Or shilling.
As opposed,
you know,
to shilling.
This
is written in an academic sense, and I think it was
shilling,
wasn't it?
Have you got a shilling for the meter? It was almost closed down at the end, you know, the shilling disguised, if you like. Shilling. Have you got a shilling for the, you know, hit me for the shilling.
And they're actually saying this phrase is greatly favoured when trying to cadge in whining tones from shopkeepers, priests, various charities, or the National Assistance Board. Can you remember the National Assistance Board, Paul? I remember there was one, but I never...
There was one,
well,
but it was never...
Time.
Yeah. The National Assistance, no, it wasn't very prominent anyway.
Okay.
Nothing that you could... it would come to mind straight away, no way.
Was a Catholic called an Hail Mary? It's a prayer, a penance, we know, but I never knew that they were relating to the Catholic as a person. An Hail Mary. I've never actually heard
no,
that.
No.
Okay, so again, we're looking at the things that are written, because, you know, some of these things we probably will remember, other things we might not. Any Road,
yeah.
Now, I remember that
one. I remember that, yeah.
Now, do you remember
Any Road, you know, it was a sort of, it was a change in direction. Well, any road, you know, he was talking about somebody. Well, you know, you've cleared it up. Any road, going on to the next subject.
So would say a posh southerner, no, what would they be referring to? We would say, well, any road.
Let me talk about the other thing. Well, anyway, it all happened last week, you know, changing. Mm. So, anyway.
Okay, now.
Well, anyway, let's change the subject and go on to something else.
All right, any road. Annie. Have you heard of an Annie? Anytime Annie.
No, I'm sorry.
I haven't either. I suppose there might be an odd one area, one street maybe.
Street
or a
that
couple
used
of streets,
it, yeah.
But I've never heard
maybe
that.
Maybe used in a particular school, you know, but not generally. That's it, not generally.
Now, you've got one here, which is, I'm going to read it. As it's written, are yez looking fair a bunch of daffs? Now, are yez looking...
It was not are yez, it was are yez.
Or yez.
Are yez looking? Because that went across over the Atlantic, and it went with the Irish, if you like, because it came from the Irish, are yez, and that went across to America, where you had them, are yez sitting in the front, or do yez want to sit in the front, or you want to sit in the back, you know, they talk like this, you know, the Irish, a little bit of Irish, that came in there, went into the Italian as well, because the Italians started using it.
So there was an influx
into the Italians.
So it's,
from the Irish.
It's not really that unusual when you look at the way that the say the New Yorker used to speak, because there would be an influence. And the Boston, I suppose.
Boston. Well, not so much Boston. Well, yes, Boston, yes, I'm sorry. Yep. Because Boston had a huge amount of Irish people there.
Okay. Now, as I say, we're looking for similarities as well. Obviously, we're looking for things that we don't agree. An argy-bargy.
Yeah. An argy bargy. It was a row, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember my dad saying that.
You're having an argy bargy next door.
So if like they'd kick off with the neighbours, they'd come in and they'd say,
"You're having an argy bargy next door." Like,
and there's one, of course, which was a group that had a big number one hit. This is Our Kid. Now, if we're talking about Our Kid, who are we talking about?
Well, Our Kid is my brother, really.
Yeah.
That's my brother. It's always been. But it's an affectionate term to give to anybody. A kid to somebody even without who doesn't even belong to your family, you know, a friend. You're right, kid.
But, I mean, you say that to me when you're talking about your brother. You say,
Our kid. Or I'll say it to you, you're right, kid. It's an affectionate term to somebody, you know.
Now, I've heard the next one, and I think you will have done, As Daft as Soft Mick. He's as daft as a soft Mick. I suppose...
It has been used,
but not in the
not
way
generally,
it's written.
Not in the way that's written, no.
We'd refer to somebody as being a soft Mick.
Yeah.
Which would really refer to the Irish, wouldn't
it? Yes, that's right. Which... I don't think Liverpool would say that because they're attached to the Irish very much, you know. So it's it's putting the Irish down a bit. You know?
Well, it is, but I suppose there was a bit of that. I mean, I do remember, for example, I've just been speaking with Chris Wharton yesterday. Now, Chris is reading a book for me, and he's going to talk to me about it on a podcast, and it was to do with St. Werburgh's in Birkenhead being the first Catholic church to be built on the Wirral. And apparently there were riots and all sorts, you know. So we're going back, I think it was to about the 1870s. But he's just come across this book and it did sound very, very interesting. So I'll let you know about that. Mm. What about this one, Paul? Because I've never heard this. As relaxed as a cow flop. I've never heard that.
Never.
I'm reading from Learn Yourself Scouse, Volume 2, The ABZ of Scouse by Lineker Lane, Bachelor of Scouse, How to Talk Proper on Merseyside, edited by Fritz Spiegel. And I loved the little book when I saw it, but I just thought,
yes, I did.
I saw there were so many things that I've never related to. How about The Etches is Off?
The what?
The Etches is Off. I suppose... You might have heard something near that, but it's supposed to mean the pub is open. Open up the etches. So the etches is off, maybe. But I can't say I've really heard it.
No, honestly, it's never been used generally, that. Again, that's been probably a local dialect. Somebody, local sayings. Somebody in any particular area, which I didn't know, but it's not general.
No. All right, then. I think you might remember this one. Certainly, Avi, when you're talking about the afternoon, this Avi.
The Savvy. Oh, yeah, that's very well known. The Savvy.
Okay, so we go to...
Goes along with Crimbo for Christmas. Crimbo, you're coming over for Crimbo. And the Savvy is this afternoon, yeah.
Okay, now we go to B. So we've looked at a few things under the heading of A, and there's a few things there we don't understand. I've never heard this, a back crack. What would you say, a back crack? They're giving it here as a back alley.
No.
And it says it's a not so old but well-known alehouse in an alley in Liverpool 8. I've never heard that.
The back crack. Crack, no.
No. Bad weather for brass monkeys.
Oh, well, that's used generally all over, isn't it?
But we wouldn't say it like that.
No, we wouldn't say it, no.
We'd say, well, what's the weather like? It's brass monkeys. Yeah, we both said it naturally.
It's brass monkeys,
We didn't even practice that.
Yeah,
we both said brass it monkeys. Naturally. This is the trouble, you see, when academics get hold of something. Obviously, starting off with the best will, with the best of intentions. But, I mean, I think there will be other people that will see things differently to us. So it's interesting. No,
but they'll have a look at that. If they're Liverpool people, they'll be saying the same thing as us. There's lots of unrecognisable stuff there. When it's put into sentences like that, the way we've done it, we've abbreviated it, and it's made sense, abbreviating it.
Now, why do you think a bag was, in theory, a prostitute? I mean, we would call somebody an old bag, wouldn't we?
An old bag, yeah.
So, in actual fact, it's written as that owed OWD, that owd bag. But we'd say that owd bag, wouldn't we? That owd bag.
Yeah, but that's not really endearing, is it? Well, it's not. It's not an endearing thing. The owd bag. I mean, people do it. They have terms for, in certain parts of Liverpool, they use the word tat for the wife.
Yeah.
And bag, the owd bag at home, that's the mother-in-law.
But I think you
the mother-in-law was the old. It was always the old bag. But it's not a term of endearment, really. It's a thing that I don't know if you don't particularly like your old woman or you don't like the person, you call her an old bag.
Well, written here, when dragged indoors by its mother, a scouse child is quite capable of screaming, "Let me be, ye rotten owd bag." Well,
yes, out of temper. Yeah, I can accept that one, but it's just difficult to...
It's difficult to hear a kid say that.
No,
it?
You won't, yeah. Let me go, your owd bag.
Yeah.
I'll say, let me go, your owd bag.
Wouldn't it be more likely to be to somebody else that's grabbed hold of the child, not so much the mother? I mean, you wouldn't really want to hear...
That's
it.
Right.
I don't think I would want to hear any of the kids...
No, exactly. As I said before, it's not an endearing thing, that, a word. It's something that would come from some stranger, you know?
Okay, what about balls to you? I'm fireproof. Balls to you.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. That just doesn't ring a bell at all. And I mean, I know my memory's getting a little bit... stayed at the moment, but I can't remember that in any part of Liverpool at all. Again, it's probably localised, that.
Okay, I think you'll get this one. A balmy sod.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, that would just
balmy
be...
Balmy sod.
Anybody who's a bit, you know, you wouldn't want to be with that person. He's a balmy sod.
Yeah, he's a balmy sod, yeah.
Or a barney.
Or you just say, get over there, you balmy sod.
To batter.
To batter, that would be fisty fights, whatever, or hitting somebody to batter them.
Yeah, and it's funny batter that they them. Should say batter, because when all said and done, batter basically comes from, you know, cooking, doesn't
cooking,
it?
Cooking, yeah.
You know, you'd wonder why it would actually... Now, they are saying something here, which I will put in, because it's written in the book. Bayonet practice. What would you say that was?
Well, it in military terms... It's a bayonet practice with a doll, with a stuffed doll, and you charge it and use the bayonet on it as you would, and they use it on assault courses and things like that. But I can't see that being what bayonet practice.
Well, they're actually saying bayonet practice is sexual intercourse. Now, I
never
in all my life never have heard that.
I'm sorry, no.
Okay, now then, what about beer money? Would that mean to you the unemployment allowance?
Well,
me old fella ain't in. He's gone for his beer money.
No, he's going to the dole, isn't he?
Now, would that be the way they'd refer to the beer money?
But I think that's the only thing I can think of. He's going. He's, you know, he's on the dole. He's gone to pick it up from the dole.
Okay, and also, let's see if we have. Well, we had a bird, of course. The putting there's one that also referred to a bird would be a bint. I've heard that
a
one.
Bint. Heard that one. Yeah, yeah. Me bint. That's an old one. That goes back to the 50s.
Yeah,
maybe even before that.
One for drunk. What was the favourite one for you when somebody had a few drinks? There, beginning with B. Would you go for bevied?
Bevied.
Yeah,
bevied
that was one I guided.
Bevied. Me. He's bevied or he's... well, that's all I can... There's a lot of them you can use there. But coming from Liverpool, I think bevied is the only one that I can see.
Yeah, that was common. Definitely common, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, what about a biddy?
A biddy.
What would how would the very posh Londoner describe a biddy?
Biddy.
Look at that old biddy over there.
Oh, yes. Oh, biddy. Well, you have to put the word in front of it, you know, old biddy. because that it relates to an old person, doesn't it? I said it relates to an old person, someone that's getting on in years.
And would you say possibly scruffy in appearance?
Well, not really. No, just an old person that's getting on in years.
Again, going back into the book here, they're saying perhaps a diminution of Bridget, the generic name for Irish women. Well, you know, Biddy, I suppose there's a possibility of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go along with that then. Big Ears. Now, before Noddy and Big Ears...
Well, that was a nosy person, wasn't it? Somebody who was listening and... being inquisitive, if you like, you know, Big Ears.
Right, and would you say that came before Noddy and Big Ears, or was it something...
Oh, it came before Noddy and Big Ears, yeah.
Okay, so Big Ears was probably the name given by Enid Blyton, wasn't it?
Probably, she heard that and gave it to the programme, whatever.
Now, they're talking about a blackie here as a police fan. Did you ever remember them called a blackie?
No, never.
I can remember the Black Maria.
Black Maria, yes. Yeah. Well, that was a well-known around the Eagle and Child in Page Moss.
Yeah.
The Eagle and Child, where there was many a bloodbath there.
And then we go to this blind scouse, the actual pan of scouse. I mean, I always know it as scouse. And when I saw
I've heard of blind scouse. I've heard of it, yeah. But not in the way it's just called scouse. Scouse is the word.
So, well,
blind scouse is without meat.
Ah, good, okay, because that's what it's in the book. It does say that. Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's without meat.
Now then, what about... let's see. A blocker. I haven't heard this one either. A blocker is given here as a funeral hat or a burial hat or a bowler or a derby hat. A blocker. I've never heard that, Paul.
No.
I've heard of Ollie's.
Oh, Ollie's was your marbles, wasn't it? Ollie's was a lovely expression. And that takes me back to when you were a little boy, you know, and playing in the gutter. And you know the things that I remember? When you're going out, especially on a sunny day, you'd see the, like, little diamonds where somebody had broken a bottle and over the years it had ground in, and you could see these little glints in the concrete. And you'd play in the gutter these marbles.
Yeah,
and you'd play for hours.
Oh, yeah.
And another one we used to play with the marbles was a miniature cricket. Used to have a little cricket bat and you'd play for hours of that.
With the marbles, do you remember the blood ollie?
The blood ollie, yeah, very much.
That's
so,
like
yeah.
a little red sort
a
of
red,
streak in
yeah,
it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, now then, wonder how the telephone became the blower, because we did use that,
didn't
we?
On the blower, yes. Now, yeah. Well, that's used right across the country.
Okay, so it's not really just a scout
yeah.
thing, is it? Bobby Dazzler?
A good-looking woman, actually. A damn fine-looking woman.
Yes. Now, there's one here. Again, I have never heard Bonza. Meaning very good or excellent. Bonza, I never heard that.
No, I'm sorry.
I did hear the gear. Oh, the gear.
Oh, it's the gear.
Yeah.
No, that's a well-known Liverpool saying. It's the gear.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're
going to booze next. The boozer. So we knew the boozer, didn't
we? The boozer
we
knew, yeah. And that goes all over the country.
What about a booze hound? A persistent drunkard. A booze hound. I've never heard that.
No, never.
Booze jerk?
No.
A bartender? Booze moke? A brewery horse?
No, I'm sorry.
And I mean, we had the brewery horses came round our street, so yeah. Boozing with the bugs? Boozing with the bugs? I can't remember any of that. That's supposed to be solitary drinking at home.
No.
Okay, let's go to a different topic they've given us here, and this is a boxer. Sometimes applied to an undertaker. I've never heard that. Now, they're saying brakes as broken, defective or damaged biscuits sold cheaply, usually from a crate or barrel. I just remember my mum saying, go and get some
broken biscuits. Those broken biscuits. Well, I worked in the shop, so I can tell you that the scousers used to come in and say, you got any broken biscuits?
Yeah. And I used to go up for my mum.
No,
she'd give me
that's
a
out
shilling,
of order, yeah.
You know. A lot of these, I'm sure...
there's an awful lot of them that's not...
considering this is put out as Learn Yourself Scouse,
no,
and we're two Scousers, yes. This makes it rather silly, doesn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
What about a brew-up?
A brew-up is, well, all over the country. He gives a brew-up in Yorkshire as well. Brew-up was tea.
So
a nice brew of tea. It's not Scouse, yeah. No. It's
and up the brew is like up the brew at the hill.
Yes, up the
so
brew,
again,
yeah.
That's not really Scouse,
it? No, not really.
Used in a negative sense, the word bright. How are you feeling? I'm not too bright today. I don't feel too bright. My dad used to say that, actually.
I don't think it's related to Scouse. Something like that. I don't feel bright today. I don't feel too bright today. I don't think it's Scouse. I think it's general, that.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Paul. And
I think that's general.
What about a brownie? You can understand why the minute I'll give you this definition, but I'd never ever heard of a brownie being a male prostitute.
No, I'm sorry. No.
I've heard of a joy boy. I had heard that one. But I think this was not the type of talk I would be mixed up in when I was a kid anyway, you know.
No, what was that?
A joy boy is the same, a male prostitute. And I suppose when you look at it, Liverpool did like they did like the rhyming slang.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd know where that one was coming from, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
A joy boy. Okay, now, Brutal Bootle, where the bugs wear clogs.
Oh, well, you know that. It was always Bootle where the boot. It was always that, wasn't it? But it was not Brutal Bootle. It was Bootle where the bugs wear clogs. You know, you came from, that's where the bugs wear clogs. It was always, where'd you come from? Bootle, oh, that's where the bugs wear clogs.
And why is it that Bootle got such a reputation?
I don't absolutely know.
I mean,
because I had a girlfriend in Bootle, but it only lasted a couple of weeks. But then she came from Bootle.
But I know it was like the going down the docks, wasn't it? The Bootle end of the docks.
Yeah, so, and of course Liverpool football team starts as Bootle.
Oh, right, okay.
Bootle football team.
Yeah. Okay, now there's a number here which I don't really relate to. So first of all, tell me if you remember these, because I don't. Buckingham Palace apparently was an old established boarding house known as Champions Waits, located at Mile End, Liverpool.
No.
Okay.
No, again, that's localised, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, local knowledge.
Buggers about like a fart in a bottle.
Well, yes, the fart in a bottle, that's really generalised, isn't it? It's all over the place, that.
It's the way it's written I don't relate to. Mm. I mean, I have heard it, but not the way it's written. Bunce, I have heard of.
Bunce, yeah.
It's like extra pay.
Extra pay, yeah.
Okay.
Any bunce, yeah.
And again, it's written as Burr, B-U-R, fax, F-A-X. So the Burr fax. Well, we do give people the Burr fax, don't
Burr
we?
Fax.
You know, but that,
but
that,
again,
that's
general.
English, isn't it?
That's English. That's yeah. part of everything. Every nation, every county.
Okay, Bushwa. Now, it's derived from the Australian bushwire. Bushwa. I've not heard that. Idle talk. I've never heard that, Paul.
No, I haven't.
This is so interesting to see the things that neither of us have, and we've been around a long time,
so it's not exactly
as if we're two kids. Bust a gut, I know that one.
Bust a gut, yeah.
To work extremely hard.
That's right.
Okay, what about a busy Lizzie?
I've heard that before.
So that you'd go along with as somebody who was a persistent interferer in other person's affairs.
Yeah.
Bull. It's a load of bull.
Oh, well, again, generalise. Everybody uses that one.
Now, this word that I'm giving you now is an African importation. Seldom used, but then, ironically, bullamacow. Apparently, that was supposed to mean corned beef. But we never called it bullamacow.
Not at all, no. Not at all.
All right, this one we did use.
It was bully. It was called bully.
Yeah.
Because it came from the war. They used bully beef in the war.
And, of course, when Jim Bowen was using his programme, Bullseye, he had a bit of bully, didn't he?
He had a bully, yeah.
Mm. Now, what about this one? The verb to bum. So, can I bum a cup full of sugar?
You can borrow a cup of sugar,
we remember that one, don't we?
Yeah.
And what about a bum starver? Now, this is supposed to be a short, ill-cut jacket. And I remember that as a bum freezer, wasn't it?
A bum freezer, yeah.
Which apparently, in Victorian times, ladies' bustles were known as arse coolers. This is apparently Old English, so that you know.
Well, actually, the word arse is Old English. It's still in the dictionary as arse is Old English, which the Irish have maintained. They say, look, the arse is hanging out of his trousers, and they would say it in company. It's not a swear word. Or the word P-I-S-S. They go for a piss.
Yeah.
And the Irish still use that. I'm just going for a piss. And it's taken not out of context, or, you know, not out of...
Or a piddle.
Or a piddle. Yeah. Or they won't say piddle. They will say P-I-S-S because it's in the dictionary. Arse and piss.
Okay.
So it's old English words.
What about... well, define for me what you really know as a butty. A butty.
A butty is two pieces of bread with... whatever in between. Jam butty is one, the favourite one for Liverpool, where the butter and the jam is put between the two slices of bread. That's a jam butty.
And there was something about a really nice butty when we were growing
up. Oh, it's lovely. A Conneoni butty.
Conneoni, we'll come to Conneoni, but yeah, Conneoni butty. Conneoni. About the banana butty?
A banana was very favourable, yes, that was nice, enjoyable.
Yeah, and of course the jam butty was, well, it depends what sort of jam you had in your house, isn't it? You know, if your mum says, come in and I've got your dinner ready and I've got a jam butty. I've got down here a Welsh butty, did you know that? A Welsh butty?
No.
A sandwich.
I'll tell you what I did here the other day, which is rather strange coming in. You know, there's certain diets they have all over the place and people that like things. It's very unusual. This guy came up to me, well, I've had it known it for a while, actually, but never tasted. He said, oh, you've got to taste it. It's like a chip butty was always nice.
Yeah.
And we all liked the chip butties. But this one was a crisp butty. When he puts the butter on, puts the chips on and puts a bit of salt on the top of it, puts the two pieces of bread together, and it's that crunch and the softness between, and it tastes rather nice. Actually, I was quite impressed with that.
I have had a crisp.
I was quite impressed with that one.
Well, we're going to go to the letter C and start off with a cabbage hall yank.
Cabbage hall yank, no.
Okay, well, this is obviously a war thing. I have never heard it. A youth who tries to behave like or pretends to be an American. Let's go to canary cake. Have you heard of canary cake? No, I've not heard. A can lad. We've heard of the can lad.
Can lad, yeah. Yes. Canary cake. I can't hear the canary cake.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know when I was growing up, you know, it was something about being the can lad. You didn't like to be the can lad, did you?
Yeah.
You know, it was
always, excuse me.
If somebody wasn't getting a well-paid job, they'd say, oh, you know, what do you take me for, the can lad?
Well, yes, that was... We all know about that one, don't you?
Okay, what about...
We all know that was on the...
Carnival ribbons. Did you hear of carnival ribbons?
No.
Apparently these are toilet rolls. Never heard them referred to that.
No.
What about a cat kisser?
Never
heard that. Champion or proper champion?
Well, again, that would be used in Yorkshire rather than Liverpool.
Well, I was going to say Lancashire as well.
He's right, champion. Right, champion him.
Because it's quite funny, isn't it? As you go towards St. Helens.
Yeah, St. Helens changes. Got a different accent. Prescott.
Can you show us the differences there?
Well, St. Helens is only marginally fine because they'll speak normally, but you'll have the slight, you know, a slight cut off at the end. Not quite Manchester, but you'll hear that, you know, that slight old Lancashire accent, you know.
Mm.
And that's from St. Helens.
They don't
talk like Yorkshire do, you know, or Lancashire. Mm. The real Lancashire.
The R's
come out there.
Okay, have you heard of, and again, going from what's written here, a chapel-going bastard? Ah,
Well, it'd be referring to it's English, not an endearing thing, but somebody that goes to church,
yes,
you know.
It's just English, isn't it?
A chapel going to pass. It's somebody that's cleaner than God, you know, the God that tries to be
holier
everything
than thou.
Holier than thou, yeah.
What about chillen? I mean, I've never heard anybody on Merseyside talk about children as chillen. C-H-I-L-L-U-N.
Never.
I mean, that's
never.
More like an American slave, black slave, isn't it? The chillen.
Yeah. No, never.
Now, the Chinese, of course, Chinese, well, we used to always really call
chinks.
Them chinky chonks, didn't we? They've got here chinky chuck, Chinese food. A chippy, of course.
Hello.
We know the...
Chippy was a chip shop, fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
The chippy.
What about choss? I've never heard of this. It were absolute bloody choss.
No, chuffed, I've heard.
The saying this is complete disorder, as in chaos. But choss, I've never, ever heard
anybody.
Never
heard of it. What's he... Is he...
Complete mispronunciation of the word chaos.
No, that doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. No.
Chuck.
Chuck. Well, again, that chuck would come from. I'll tell you where it comes from. Nottingham. Places like Nottingham. Hello, Chuck.
Aye.
Hello, Chuck. Or hello, Duck.
They're also duck talking chuck. About it meaning the same as the food in the sense of Australian chucker. But the Americans had the chuck wagon, didn't they? So
yeah,
the Americans
wagon.
Are more likely to have got it first, probably through the sailors going out and going into America. The thing that is one that you will know is when you get chucked.
Oh yeah, when
the girl, that was horrible.
When
wasn't
the girl
it?
That was terrible. When the girl give you when she chucked you, the girl your girlfriend.
Now again, we're going to this book, and I'll remind you: the book is Learn Yourself Scouse. Clarence Mbongo, can you ever say that you've heard of him?
Never.
Okay, I've never ever heard of... Applied to a Negro, especially if young and dressy.
No, I'm sorry.
A cloggy, as somebody who wears clogs.
Well,
was there anybody around wearing clogs when you were a kid?
Well, yes, there were the people, but you see, not in our, in Liverpool, it wasn't a thing. It was things like in Oldham, you'd get it in Oldham because there was a lot of the factories in Oldham. You know the spinning factories,
the
you know,
and
the mills and that, and you'd hear them clogging up. Well, my wife used to tell me she was born in London but lived most of her life in Oldham, and she could hear it as young as a young girl in the morning, early morning. That was one of her memories of this, all the clogs going up the cobblestones to all the people going to work, you know.
Yeah. Now, I do remember also when I was reading the introduction to this particular book, and they're talking about people in Liverpool... talking about the past of the verb to climb as clum, I clumb over the wall. I've never heard that. I always used to hear people saying, no, I climbed over the wall, climbed. I've never heard clumb over the wall. Have you heard it?
Never clumbed, no.
No, never heard clumb over the wall. Coats and Hats, a Liverpool departmental store properly called C&A Modes. I've heard people refer to, where are you going? I'm off to C&A. I've heard a little rude version of it, which is basically nothing to do with coats and hats, is it? Cobblestones, of course, we did have when we were kids, didn't we? Our road was cobbled. Was your road cobbled?
Our cobbled, yeah. We had. I remember cobbled in some parts of Liverpool. It was cobbled, yeah.
And we had a horse and cart would come up the road. One would have the pop wagon. Did you have the pop wagon come around?
The pop wagon.
Yeah.
You had the milk wagon.
The milk wagon, yeah.
You had bread.
And the coal wagon.
Coal wagon. And I'll tell you what, you probably a little bit before your time as well, there was a thing called a puffing billy or puffing billy.
No, nope. I've heard of it.
It was a steam engine that used to, or steam truck, that used to go around with a trailer on it in Liverpool, in the streets of Liverpool.
Okay, I had heard of it, but I don't think I saw it. What about Coddy's show? Coddy's show. Now, I remember the name. It's an old established Punch and Judy show run by a Liverpool family named Codman. So I remember Professor Codman, but I never heard him referred to as Coddy's show. It was always the Punch and Judy. Going the Punch and Judy show.
Yeah, Punch and Judy. No, yeah. That's...
Take the kids. What about, have you heard this one? As cold as a nun's bum.
Yes, I've heard. Well, it wouldn't be... to use an awful word, a witch's tit. As cold as a witch's tit. Now, that was a saying in Liverpool. But I think it was all over, really.
Well, this is nice.
I think it came from Liverpool, I'm sure.
You like this. A riddle traditionally asked by older players of the Liverpool Philharmonic. What are the two coldest things in the world? The answer is a nun's bum and a solo on the viola. And then the other one will say, and the two most useless? Father Bunloaf's ghoulies and a vote of thanks to the orchestra.
And about yet.
Okay.
That sounds all right.
Oh dear, there's some here that I've never. Compost flake?
No.
Herbal tobacco?
Never heard that one. Sorry.
Come on, kid, let's creep.
No, that was a thing of dancing, getting them up to dance.
It does say an invitation to dance.
To dance,
yeah. I'd never heard that. It was about before my time.
But it's I don't think many people use that expression really.
Okay, also called stiff moo and stiff tit. Conioni.
Oh, really? Really? That's...
And if you could just go over the Conioni that you used to have as a child.
Oh, the Conioni butty, yeah. It was favourable then. It was cheap, you see. Conioni was cheap, cheaper than jam.
A tin of condensed milk, wasn't it?
A tin of condensed milk.
Normally Carnation, I think, was the brand.
Carnation was the one to advertise a little.
Yeah.
And that was put on liberally on a butty, and that was rather nice.
Now, this one is written, couldn't kick or punch an owl in a wet ecke. Now, to me...
No, echo. It was the echo... It was never echo.
Never echo, was it?
Echo. No,
you couldn't punch an owl in a
wet echo.
Or in a wet paper bag. You could have that as well, yeah. Couldn't you? But the echo.
Couldn't punch a hole in a wet
echo. In the echo.
In the echo.
If anything, the O was exaggerated, wasn't it?
Of course.
The echo.
Couldn't punch a hole in a wet echo.
Yeah.
Echo.
You wouldn't say echo.
No.
You wouldn't say that.
No.
Couldn't organise a booze up in a brewery. Well, I still use that, so that's still around, isn't it? What about cowhead? Never heard that. A simpleton? Never heard that one.
No.
What about this one? I think we'll all use it, is a cozzy.
Cozzy is swimming costume, isn't it?
It is the swimming cozzy. The crapper?
Crap is the toilet.
Yeah.
But,
and a phrase that apparently we use, crawl back into your hole.
Go back into your house.
Yeah.
Go back where you came from. But you see, that's not used anymore, and neither is the crapper used anymore, you know.
Yeah, but at least they were part
they
of
were skills, part of, yeah.
They? Yeah. Now, the Count of Monte Cristo, would that be used as a Scouse speciality? I don't think it would it?
No.
Count of Monte Cristo.
What's that mean?
Well, they're saying the Count of Monte Cristo is a dressy man and a show-off. What about a creeping Jesus?
No, I'm sorry.
Applied to a person who enjoys bad health or a constant misfortune. Somebody who solicits sympathy... by wearing an air of patient martyrdom. Okay, the cutty sack.
Cutty sack.
Well, cutty apparently is Scots for short. Well, we used to have the cutty sack, of course, would be a type of boat, wasn't it? But they're saying a cutty shack. Cutty shack.
And what does that mean?
Well, they're saying that the cutty shark is a small fish, but I can't say I've ever...
Never heard of it. I'm sorry. Maybe the fish market might have had something...
A Scouser... They're saying in the foreword here, the Scouser is not necessarily a Liverpudlian, though the odds are in favour of it. He could come from anywhere within a 15-mile radius of Moby Dick, which is a famous statue much admired for its generous proportions. That must be something new, Paul, because I've...
It must be something...
I mean, we always used to talk about the guy that stood over Lewis's...
Well, that's the one that comes to mind with me when that went up. There was a lot of gags, and a lot of old women would... Liverpool ladies would look up at it and crack the gags. You know, all the sayings came out during that time.
You see, some of the things that come into this is quite interesting. For example, I found this one interesting. As the country's industrial complex has expanded and the export trade swelled with it, so it was all around the Industrial Revolution that I think a lot of this comes from. This situation had a great appeal to individuals unable to tell a vertical drill from a turret lathe, but were well able to hump crates and sacks up and down a ship's gangway or whack the arse off a cart horse. Hence, possibly, the Scouse nickname of Whacker.
Whacker, yeah. It was. Whacker was... Liverpool was... It was another word for a Liverpool lad. Not a Scouse, but a Whacker. Early days. Whacker. Are you a Whacker?
Well, you see, they are talking here about, let's face the awful fact, it is from the uneducated and in some respects uneducatable stratum of Merseyside life that Scouse has arisen and developed. To a great extent, it is the language of the ignorant. Some outsiders view it with pity, some with ill-concealed contempt. Some wholeheartedly approve it on the grounds that it is always good for a laugh. There is maybe much to be said for the latter viewpoint if one accepts a well-known humorist explanation of the success of so many Merseyside comedians. If you live in Liverpool, you must either laugh yourself sick or burst into tears. You see, I think this is a bit of a patronising and condescending look at Scouse, because the language that we grew up with wasn't necessarily the language of the uneducated. It was the words that were passed from area to area round what we would call the perimeter of Scouse, maybe, or the area that they've already identified. As a dialect, for it is dialect and not just a regional accent, Scouse has many curious features worthy of the study of anyone who takes a scientific interest in Aboriginal speech forms. For example, the true Scouser has a linguistic blind spot with respect to the past tense. Therefore, he plays it by ear, so to speak. He substitutes seen for saw, done for did. I don't understand the next one. Clum for climbed. Fruz for frozen. I've never heard that. Kilt for killed. Skirt for scared, as so on. You see, I don't think some of this is accurate.
I don't think it's accurate at all, no.
English as used, the perfect English, which they regard as in Buckingham Palace, are quick to detect the low educational standard of the boob who says, "I seed him." Well, I don't remember many people saying, "I seed him." I saw him.
There are certain things that come out of Liverpool, like, "I learned him."
Yeah.
"I learned him this," which is terribly against... Well, you could say that was a little backward. But other than that, the accent is comical, without a shadow of a doubt. It comes, as they say, may have been from a cold in the nose, but I think it comes from Dublin. It's a mixture of Dublin.
I think a lot's from the Irish, isn't it?
I'm sorry, but there's a lot of Irish in there. A lot of...
The saying that the word like scuffer, a policeman, appears to be peculiar to Merseyside.
Yes, scuffer,
So is pure Scouse.
Yes, I would say scuffer is, yeah.
On the other hand, Char T is an Indian Army team. Well, in actual fact, it goes around the world, char, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't think. It does, I think in every language I've ever known, char is known as a cup of tea.
There's a lot of this stuff I can't, you know, just don't. And I've been around a long time and lived in Liverpool a long time, and I've not some of these sayings. As I said, they probably have caught it from It's a localized thing, but a very small location in Liverpool who used it. I.e., could have been a school they picked it from that was used in that particular school, or it was particular or an area, a road. It could have been a road where they used it, but it wasn't used generally. No. Those sayings weren't used generally.
In languages in general, the writers are saying that, you know, languages are enriched by pinching bits from here, there and everywhere. Now, the saying that Scouse differs only in one respect, namely, that the average Scouser firmly believes in his linguistic virginity. He is quite capable of appropriating any long word or phrase that strikes his fancy, and at a later date, swearing before God that the original user stole it from Scouse. You see, I can't really say I've ever seen that as a trait with Merseyside people, with Scousers. I think most of us are quite happy to admit that with all the ships coming into the port, that most of the words have come from other languages anyway.
Well, it was an extremely cosmopolitan place at one time, Liverpool, being one of the main ports in England. And when you sailed from anywhere, you seemed to be sailing from Liverpool or sailing into Liverpool. So, yes, a lot of Dutch people, we all know that some of the fishing fleets, Spanish fishing, especially the ones from Basque.
Yeah.
The Basque, we had a huge Basque contingency in Liverpool. And then you had the Germans, of course, that came. There was a whole lot of stuff.
Well, they just finished. Just to finish off our podcast, it says Liverpool is by no means as bad as that opinion implies about, you know, if you live in Liverpool, you must either laugh yourself sick or burst into tears. On the other hand, it's a hell of a long way from being the cultural paradise that some of its snootier citizens like to pretend. Indeed, the twanging, yowling uproar that was its recent contribution to the lunatic, though lucrative, fringe of music can be described as typically and inevitably Liverpool. Even more typical is the fact that Liverpool takes perverted pride in it. What is the first shrine at which the visitor to Liverpool now worships? Allerton Hall, where William Roscoe fought for the abolition of slavery. Jesse Hartley's Albert Dock, that breathtaking, unique example of earlier Victorian dock architecture. I think, let's see, I'm going on a little bit here. Be he a dollar-spending tourist or publicity-seeking politician, the first place he makes for is a dank, sweaty underground warehouse where the Liverpool sound was born, probably the most successful mass bamboozle since the virgin birth. Well, Paul, we're going to take another look at all this at a later date. This is the first part of our look at Scouse. Mm. And I don't know about you, I'm a little bit disappointed by the people that have written this book. I feel that they're having a go at the fact that Liverpool was the Liverpool city of culture.
Yeah.
I think people want to realise Liverpool is a recognised city throughout the world as one of the top cities of the world. And I don't know about you, Paul, although we live away from Liverpool, I'm certainly proud of my roots.
Oh, so I'm very, very proud of them. And I know that the history goes back way, 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 way back.
Okay,
and
Paul.
And it's so every little facet of Liverpool, when you move into various places in Liverpool, there's that history that goes back a long, long time. And at one time, we were on a line with London as regards being a rich...
Exactly.
A rich area, yeah.
Paul, I think the people writing that book have somehow managed to forget certain parts of Liverpool's history. Mm. We're going to end this podcast at the letter D, and we'll be back for more again. Paul, thanks very much indeed.
I look forward to it. And think again that it must be, a lot of this book is done from localizations, from local places, and not on a main.
And it's a bit too academic for my taste.
Mm.
Better days are coming soon. Aunt Nellie's working at the loom, and she gets paid on Friday. Perhaps one day we'll have a slant when little woods provide the cash. We'll get a house in Naughty Ash. Now when he hears the things that you did, you'll get a bell from your dad. Oh, you have your father's face. You're growing up.